Welcome to a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Scott Burton. It's Thursday, August 16th, 2018. On today's show, we'll map out the Juno Freewheelers Tour of Juno, an opportunity to participate in a number of bicycle events this weekend. We'll learn how we can drink craft beer while supporting college education. Pat McClear and Alan Davis will highlight this weekend's Harvest Fair at the Community Garden near Montana Creek. And plan your weekend with Arts Up, a summary of all the capital city's arts and entertainment opportunities. Those interviews, national native news, bird note music, and more right here, live and local, on a Juno afternoon. Currently 64 degrees and mostly cloudy here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada's west coast city of Victoria, British Columbia, the statue of the country's first prime minister has been removed. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the city calls the removal a gesture of reconciliation toward Indigenous groups.
He may have been Canada's first prime minister, but he was also one of the architects of the country's residential school system. And for the past year, a small but vocal group has been calling for his bronze statue to be removed from in front of Victoria's City Hall. In a recent move, the city council voted 7-1 in favor of doing just that, and within a couple of days, in the pre-dawn hours, it was taken down and put into storage. MacDonald served as prime minister for nearly 20 years. He has long been celebrated as the main force behind Confederation, but others say he was partly responsible for the misery caused by the residential school system. This protester says the removal of the statue was needed.
John A. MacDonald was the architect of a residential school, and because of that, 180,000 children were imprisoned in residential schools across all of so-called Canada.
Others, however, say the city is guilty of historic vandalism and is erasing history. And at least one city councillor says he doesn't believe taking down the statue will advance reconciliation. That statue will now go into storage until a decision is made about its future. In a sidebar, the newly elected government of Ontario says it will take the statue. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Two Native women running for Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota may differ when it comes to policies, but they acknowledge history in the making, being chosen with their running mates after this week's primary. They join a group of Native women candidates claiming victory in races across the United States. Donna Bergstrom, a member of the Red Lake Nation, is on the Republican ticket for Lieutenant Governor. She says women have always been leaders in the community and culture keepers.
So I think this is an extension of our willingness to step up and serve. And what I think is that, this is our home. America is our home. This is where we're, from. And I don't think we're afraid to step up and say we want to serve and help. And I think people are more comfortable now being able to step into this realm. I think it's just terrific.
Democratic candidate Peggy Flanagan is a citizen of the White Earth Nation. She says it's great to be part of the sisterhood of Native women running for political office.
One of the reasons that I decided to step up and do this is that so often Native women are invisible or disposable. And it is really important to me as the mom of a 5-year-old little Anishinaabe girl that she see herself reflected in the leadership in this state and that she know that any pathway is open to her or other little girls of color or other Native girls.
One of them is expected to be the first Native American lieutenant governor of the state after November's general election. Both women say they look forward to working with the 11 tribes in the state and serve all people in Minnesota. U.S. Senator Tom Udall, vice chair of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, is requesting Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's record on Native American issues. In a letter sent to the Senate Judiciary Committee, Udall asks for information on Indian affairs and the nominee's time as staff secretary and White House counsel. Udall says decisions by the high court impact nearly all aspects of Native American life. Udall would like the records so his committee can consider Kavanaugh's view of Indian country. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by Ramona Farms, offering wholesome and delicious foods from our heirloom crops as our contribution to a better diet for the benefit of all people. We are honored to share our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions online at ramonafarms.com.
And by the law offices of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska, and online at sanofsky.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
And you're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, August 16th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host today. My first guest is Dave Ringel. He is on the board of directors of the Juno Freewheelers, a bicycle club, and he's also the director of Tour de Juno, which is happening starting tomorrow, a series of bike races that go through Sunday, it looks like. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you here. Juno Freewheelers, what are you guys all about?
Well, we're a bicycle club that's been around Juno since the 70s, and we hold bicycle events. Some of them are bicycle races. We just held the Douglas Dirt Derby, a mountain bike race, and raised $8,500 for the American Diabetes Association. We hold time trials and bike races. We have mountain bike races coming up. In the fall, we'll have cyclocross, which is sort of biking on dirt. And we also do some community service. We help Pastor Terry at Shepherd of the Valley with her bike club program, work with Dirk Miller at Gastineau with bike clubs. And we're looking at membership changes over the year and emphasis changes over the year. This particular event's been going on for 23, 24 years.
What year did you start? Said you started again?
I'm not sure if it was 1994, 95, or 96, but it was. It's been quite a while.
About how many of you are there in the club?
Well, club membership is between 40 and 80, depending on the year. We've got different emphasis. There's now a mountain bike group and a road touring group. So I don't know the exact number this year.
Which one do you fall? Which group are you in?
Well, I used to be in all of them. As I get older, the mountain biking's a little less appealing to the road biking's a little easier on the body.
All right. So looking at these races, the first one is tomorrow on Montana Creek.
Yes. We'll have two types of races. There'll be two time trials and two road races. And tomorrow, registration will start at 5:30 at the Mendenhall River School. And we'll do a short two-mile prologue, which is a time trial. People will start in 30 or 60-second intervals. And the first mile and a half is flat. You'll go down back loop, take a right turn onto Montana Creek, and then take a left towards the community gardens. The last half mile is a little hill that will make some time differences for the better riders. And registration will start at 5:30. The first rider will be on the road at 6:15. We'll probably be done by 7 o'clock on Friday. It's a pretty quick get-to-know-people, get-to-meet-people. On Saturday, registration will start at 8:30. At 9 o'clock in the morning, we will have the Eagle Crest Hill Climb.
Oh.
Only 4.5 miles.
But that's a big hill.
It's a log hill. Those who ride it a lot realize you actually have some downhill breaks during it. Because it's really, three rises with a little break after each of the rises. But it's a big climb. And so that, if you don't want to ride it, you can always come and watch. And that's one where it's sort of fun to watch the first hill. There's usually a group. And by the time we get past the big gravel pull-off, people start to separate themselves. The really good riders will stay at the front, and everybody else will be suffering off the back.
Are electric bikes allowed in this race?
Electric bikes are not allowed.
Okay. I guess I can't do that.
Yes. The requirements are you need to have a bicycle, a helmet. The bicycle should be in good working shape with brakes, and we will probably have people who can help if you're not 100% sure your bike's in good working condition. To be a part of it, you have to be a freewheeler, which is a $15 individual membership, $20 family. And you can choose which races, because if hill climbing isn't what you like, in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, we'll meet at the Shrine Pullout, just by the Shrine of St. Therese, and we'll have a time trial, which is another individual race where you're not starting off in a group, and you'll ride from the Shrine Pullout to Eagle Beach and back. It's about 10.2 miles. A little bit of a hill at the end, but nothing anywhere near the seriousness of Eagle Crest. And that'll be the Saturday event. On Sunday at 9 a.m., we will have the end of the road race. Registration, again, starts a half hour ahead of time. And we will start at Auchreck. We will probably do a neutral ride out to the experts. We'll start at the ferry terminal and ride to the end of the road and back. There will be a sport class for those people who are not in the expert category, don't think they're in shape to do the whole 52 miles. And that will start at the top of the hill. And they will ride out to Eagle Beach, turn around, and we plan the finish in Auchreck at the totem pole with award ceremony pretty close to the end of the last rider coming in. One of the freewheeler members lives right next to Auchreck, so we'll give directions to the Schufelt house, and we'll have a potluck gathering, and we'll have a lot of prizes. There'll be door prizes for volunteers and cyclists. There'll be awards in the expert, the sport, and the youth class. We probably will have a non-time trial bike time trial champion, because when you go to the time trial, you're going to see the triathlon bikes and skin suits and people real serious. And you'll see other people show up with regular old bikes.
I was going to ask you about that. What kind of bicycle rider do these all fit with?
You see everything from 14-year-olds to, I think, Reed Stoops usually rides, and he's just turned 70. And some will have the thin-tired curved handlebar bikes. Those people realize are the comfortable ones that make it a lot easier to go far distances, and they're definitely more efficient and faster. We've had people show up on mountain bikes. We've had people show up on touring bikes. Well, Miss Jenny Smith this year, she's always been the Red Lantern, and she'd come with her mountain bike, and she'd ride everything. And this year, rather than doing the Tour of Juneau, she's bicycling from Skagway to Prince Rupert as we speak.
Wow.
And doing a bike tour. But, we've had all types.
So it sounds open to everybody.
It is open to everybody who's interested.
And fun, too.
It can be a little bit intimidating when you see a bunch of people in Lycra, but you'll find out that we're pretty nice people, and we like to have fun. And this is a beautiful area to ride a bike in. And the weather is supposed to be cooperating this weekend, so you'll have some good sunshine, probably a north wind, which means a lot of these races will have a tailwind at the end, which always makes the end easier.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Dave Ringel. He is the director of Tour of Juneau, which is part of the Juneau Freewheelers Bicycle Club. And we're talking about races that start tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, to be exact, at Montana Creek Road. All of these, Dave, I saw all these race times on your Facebook page. Is that the best place to go?
The Juneau Freewheelers Facebook page is the place where all information will be. You can even see a list of some of the door prizes for both riders and for volunteers.
And it's $5 per race, right?
$5 per race plus your Freewheelers membership. It's we've kept the cost efficient through a lot of help of local volunteers. We work hard on trying to find the best insurance for these.
And it sounds like all of those membership dollars go towards philanthropies and other community service.
We've worked a lot on helping with bikes for kids. We have a group of mechanics that help fix bikes in the spring. We do bike to work day, and we work on some of the facilities. As I said before, during the Dirt Derby, which we youth mountain bike race, we raised over $8,500 for the American Diabetes Association. So it's a group of people trying to have fun and support good causes in the process.
While doing healthy activities. And it sounds like everybody's welcome.
Everybody's
from
welcome.
From professionals to hobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Find them on
Juneau Freewheelers Facebook page.
Sounds good.
It's a public page.
You can meet Dave and the other 40 to 80 members starting tomorrow at Montana Creek, except registration starts at Mendenhall River, right?
Yeah. For the other races, we'll start at Mendenhall River School, because that's the start of the Montana Creek Prologue. It's actually the bridge on Back Loop.
Okay.
And Mendenhall River School has plenty of parking, which makes it easy for the beginning when we get a lot of people coming in and testing their bikes out. And
yeah, that's tomorrow, 5:30 after work. Okay, sounds like a lot of fun. Dave, thanks for coming on the show. Is there anything missing or anything you want to add?
No, I just encourage people to enjoy biking. Also, if you're out on the roads, look for cyclists. Most of us try to wear bright colors so we can be seen, but it's always an interesting challenge to share the road. And I appreciate the vast, vast majority of the Juneau drivers who are respectful to cyclists.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for sharing it with us, Scott. We appreciate your calling.
Take care now.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.
877-929-9673.
Support for KTOO comes from LifeMed Alaska, providing Alaskans with annual memberships for emergency air medical transportation within Alaska and beyond. Learn more at lifemedalaska.com. Brewfest is coming. KXLL is proud to sponsor the Rotary Club of Juneau's 7th annual Capital Brewfest, Saturday, September 22nd, from noon to 5 at the Jack. Come and enjoy a large selection of great beer, live music, and fantastic food. All proceeds support the Bartlett Regional Hospital Foundation and the humanitarian projects of Juneau Rotary. Tickets are limited and will sell out, so don't wait. Tickets now available online only at capbrewfest.com. This message brought to you by the Rotary Club of Juneau.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Thursday, August 16th, 2018. It's about 20 minutes past the top of the hour. I'm your host today, Scott Burton, and now in the studio with me is Laura Steele. She's in marketing over at the Alaskan Brew Company, and also Jesse Post, who is the alumni relations manager over at UAS. Welcome to the show, you two. Nice to have you here. Jesse Post, we're going to be talking about Craft Beer 101, which is August 25th, so a week from this Saturday. How did it come to be?
How did it come to be? Well, we, over the years, have put on continuing, what we call continuing education 101 series. So we try to do something a little different every year. In the past, we've done art and wine 101. We've done such a wide variety of things over the years. And craft beer has just been an excellent topic. And we are seeing kind of a, you know, an increase of local Southeast craft breweries popping up. So we thought it would be a great idea to kind of highlight and partner with them.
Excellent. And that's where you come in, Laura. You're over at the Alaskan Brewing Company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the beers you guys are going to be sharing, you think, that day?
Oh, we've got some cool stuff coming up. We'll be sharing Juno Juice, which is something that's come out previously and was a big hit here locally, especially, I think, partially due to the name. And then we'll also have our newest pilot series, which is Imperial Pumpkin Porter. So perfect for the fall season and weather change that I think we're looking at here coming up. And then we'll also be sharing Cranberry Tart, which is one of our newest beers, which actually isn't even out yet. So it'll be a really fun chance for people to kind of preview that and see, you know, what's coming up.
All right. And Jesse, where do the proceeds or where does this, what does this contribute to?
Yeah. So this is a UAS alumni scholarship fundraiser. So all the proceeds will go to the alumni scholarship. And each year, the Alumni Association awards 10 scholarships, so a total of $25,000 a year for student scholarships.
Right. So drinking beer to support education,
yes,
is basically
exactly
what's happening on the 25th. All right. And you'll also be joined. Will there be other breweries there?
Yeah. So we, you know, Alaskan is kind of the big brewery in Southeast in Alaska here. But we'll be joined by Devil's Club, which just opened up their tap room this past year. And then also Skagway's newest brewery, Klondike Brewing, is going to come down to Juneau and join us. And currently you can only taste their beer in their tap room in Skagway. So that's kind of exciting to try some new beer in town.
Laura, this is called Craft Beer 101. How would you define what a craft beer is?
Well, in the industry, craft beer is essentially independently owned. And so that is really, I think, the most important aspect of craft beer. Also, craft breweries tend to be smaller. Again, I think, like Jesse said, we're the largest brewery involved in this, but we're also really excited to support and partner with smaller craft breweries and microbreweries like Klondike Brewing and Devil's Club.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is that like for you guys to see these other breweries coming up in your community?
It's really exciting. I think, you know, anytime you get to grow your community and have young people who are starting businesses, you know, it's great for everybody. And we're really excited about some of the fun stuff coming out of Devil's Club and really excited also to check out Klondike. I don't think anybody at Alaskan Brewing has had a chance to try their beer. So, yeah, we're really just looking forward to getting together with these guys and collaborating.
It seems like you do have a fun community of brewers.
Maybe and, like
yeah,
the funnest, I think.
Yeah. Jesse, can you give us the details on this event, please?
Yeah, so it's next Saturday, August 25th, and it's from 3 to 5:30 p.m., and it's a progressive kind of a beer tour in downtown. So we are all going to start at the Hangar Ballroom and kind of have some introductions to craft beer there and then divide into three groups, and then those groups will rotate to Devil's Club's tap room, and then the Alaskan Depot downtown, and then also Klondike will be hosted at the Hangar Ballroom.
Okay, and what's the cost?
Yeah, so for alumni and friends members, it's $55, and for the general public, it's $100. But if you either find an alumni and friends member or you join alumni and friends for $35, you can buy as many tickets at the member rate as you'd like. So it's kind of to encourage some membership or find a member and come downtown and join us for a progressive beer tasting.
Not to put you on the spot or anything, but I will. Can you think of somebody, and we don't have to use names, but maybe a recipient of one of these scholarships and exemplify sort of where this money was going?
Yeah. Let's see. I was just chatting with my donor relations manager, and there are, you know, I kind of first think of some of the single parents out there that are some of the recipients of the alumni scholarship and just scholarships in general at UAS, and really how appreciative they are of any financial support, and just so they might not have to work as much and go to school and be a parent. So those are kind of some of the, I mean, really some of those stories hit home. But of course, you know, everyone has different situation, and everyone appreciates any financial support in this kind of climate. So
absolutely. All right. So this is a week from this Saturday, August 25th, 3 p.m., right?
Yeah.
At the Hangar Ballroom. $55 if you're a member, $100 if you're not. So it's probably just a good chance to become a member.
Right. Or buddy up with a member.
If people want more information, where should they go?
Yeah, they can. Well, for the event itself, they can go to eventbrite.com, or they can visit the UAS alumni website. So.
All right. Laura, which of those beers that you mentioned earlier are you most excited about?
That's a really tough question. I kind of picked them because they're three of my favorites. But I would probably say the Juno Juice. It's a new style that we're trying out, a hazy IPA, and it's really awesome, and it's, I think, the perfect pairing for a gloomy Juno afternoon, which isn't what we're having today, but we may very well be having next Saturday.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show. That's Laura Steele. She's in marketing at the Alaska Brewing Company. And Jesse Post, UAS Alumni Relations Manager at UAS. Meet them Saturday, August 25th, 3 p.m. at the Hangar Ballroom for Craft Beer 101. A scholarship fundraiser. Thanks for coming on the show, you two. Is there anything else I'm missing? Anything you want to add?
No, I'm excited for the cranberry sour, though. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
you like your country and rock, your folk and your blues, all in the same sound? Or do you like your music independent, honest, real, with blue-collar roots? Tune in to Southern Exposure Friday nights at 7 for a unique blend of Red Dirt, Americana, Outlaw, and more with me, your host, Red Stewart. At Southern Exposure Friday nights at 7 on KRNN FM Juneau, music and arts from Alaska's capital.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Thursday, August 16th. We're right at the bottom of the hour. Scott Burton, your host today, joining me in the studio now is Pat McClear and Alan Davis. Pat is the secretary on the Juneau Community Garden, and Alan Davis is the events coordinator. And we're talking about the Harvest Fair, which is this Saturday out there at the Montana Creek Gardens, and the opportunity to have fun, buy vegetables, celebrate the harvest, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Welcome to the show, you
Thank
two.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we were just talking, Pat, you've been part of that garden. You've been going to the Montana Creek Juneau Community Garden for some 18 years?
I think, at least.
And Alan, some
maybe 20 years, 25. Well, I think I joined the third year. This is our 26th annual fair.
What's so it like out there for someone who's never seen it? Give us a physical description, if you will.
Well, it's a big grid of plots. They're 10 feet by 20 feet, and at this point, they're just overflowing with potatoes and leeks and just all kinds of stuff. Wonderful zucchini, and there are some that are some beds that are mostly flowers.
Very cool. About how many of those plots are taken?
All.
Wow. And how many are there?
There's about 150.
Wow.
And we have a waiting list, I believe, of about 35.
So I have a question. Both of you could probably garden at home if you want. Maybe you do a little. But what is it about the community garden that takes you out there?
Well, for me, I don't have much of a yard.
Okay.
I've got a little postage stamp yard. I'm on Star Hill, and there's very little space for a garden. So that's my only real opportunity.
Okay. How about you, Pat?
Well, right now I can garden at home, and we do, but also the beds out at the community garden, like I said, we've been there for at least the past 18 years, and it's the see-in community. Mm. So when someone says to me, when should I plant my garden? Garlic. And I'll say, well, let's talk to John Thettinger, because John's the garlic guy. And then they'll say, well, when should I pull my garlic? I said, well, there's John's bed. Go over there and talk to John. But and the other day, Sandy Williams, you know, the godfather of the garden, and you know, I'm talking to him about carrots. And so that part, that as I said, the C for community, there's folks are always willing to help you out, give you some advice, share some produce. It's a lovely community.
Yeah, it's an education just walking around and, you know, talking to people, asking questions, but also just seeing what they're growing and how they do it.
What were the big winners this summer? You mentioned a few so far.
Oh, my gosh. My turnips, like I said, there's one of them I could carve as a jack-o'-lantern. The thing is so gosh darn big. And the potatoes are doing beautifully. I just went out today and harvested carrots and Swiss chard. My leeks are gorgeous. The sunshine this summer, just last summer was so wet and cold. And this summer has just been an absolute delight, absolute delight. Yeah.
It was a cold spring, but then once the spring was over, man, it just took off.
My peas, this was the best. They never make it home because I just eat them while I'm down there working. Yeah, yeah.
So what does the Harvest Fair look like this Saturday?
It is the 26th annual Harvest Fair, and we've been around for a while, and we will have exhibits where folks will submit flowers and produce, and we have a field of judges that Odette Edgar oversees, and they will be handing out ribbons.
And prizes. Big winners.
And then we have a farmer's market where folks who garden at the community garden will donate produce as a fundraiser. So folks can come and buy produce. And we'll have a tour of the garden. Garden tour is happening. Ed Byarski will go on Friday evening, and he comes up with quite the categories to give ribbons out for. Those are quite humorous. And then we have food concessions. So if you want some hot dogs, savory beans, corn on the cob, desserts, because people bring baked goods.
People bringing baked goods to sell.
And in the past, we've always had musicians who are there to play music as well. You want to come play?
Very fun. What time should people get there?
Well, the fair itself starts at 11 o'clock. I also should say, though, that people who want to enter exhibits into the competition have to be there. You have to enter them between 9 and 10:15. That is open to the public. You don't have to be a gardener out there. If you have a home garden and you've got something that you think is worthy of note, bring it out and enter it.
So you should be there at 9 if you want to enter the contest.
So 9:30 to...
Is it 9:30?
Is it? No, I'm sorry. Enter exhibits, you're correct, 9 to 10:15.
Okay.
Yep.
And then the rest of us, about 11.
About 11. And you can bring your credit cards, because this year we're ready.
Got it. Is there a fee for entering?
Not at all.
No.
But there is parking across the street at the gun club. They very generously allow folks to park there and then walk across the street. We do have parking in the meadow, but it fills up pretty quickly.
I bet.
Yeah, and we have people directing parking, because we do want them to park at the gun club parking lot, because the alternative is to park on the side of the road, and it's just downright dangerous. It's not big enough, not wide enough.
Alan, what are you most proud of in your plot this year?
Oh boy, the potatoes are doing well. I've got four cabbages that are looking really good too.
A lot of slaw coming down to his table soon.
What's like the pro? Did people pull off tomatoes this year?
I haven't seen tomatoes out there. Mm. Usually tomatoes only under plastic.
Got it.
Yeah.
Because they're hard to grow here,
right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What are some other things that if you see them, you're like, oh, they know what they're doing?
You know, there are folks who do have hoops, and they cover them with plastic. And so if I see tomatoes, eggplant, I mean, those things, I'd forget about it, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be thrilled to pieces. But those, a lot of folks, those are in their front windows at home.
You said that there is a waiting list for plots.
Mm-hmm.
About how long does it take someone to get in there usually?
7 months.
Okay. That's not too bad.
No, it's not too bad. So if you sign up this weekend, perhaps you want to come and put your name on the waiting list and then come late winter, early spring, Odette may very well give you a call and say, we got a spot open. Do you want it?
We always have turnover. There's always people leaving the garden for various reasons, moving, or they get a yard and can do it at home or something. So there is always turnover. And if you're interested, come and get on the waiting list. People will be have to renew by, I think it's the 1st of February or something like that.
Yep.
And if they do not renew, then their plots are available to adopt.
We talked a little bit about the sense of community and knowledge that you have out there. How would you describe just sort of the feeling you get when you're gardening? What, you guys do this every year. Why?
The best. Yesterday I went down and I was all by myself. And it was me and that eagle just trilling away. And I was the queen of the garden when I was down there yesterday morning. And it's a lovely, lovely space. And I'm so appreciative of the folks who started it in the first place and all the hard work. Sandy Williams once said that the board for the Juneau Community Garden is the hardest working board he's ever been associated with. And that, I do believe, is true, because we meet 11 months out of the year, and it's physical labor that happens. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of work that gets done down there.
We all have actual duties. I mean, it's not just we vote and decide on policy or something. We all are working all the time.
And how about you, Alan? Besides that, is it harvesting your own food? What is it that keeps you coming back?
Well, I think a part of it is, being able to actually grow the stuff I eat. But it's just so pleasant to go out there and work in the soil, put seeds in, and see them grow and nurture them. I mean, it's just it's just a wonderful feeling, just growing stuff, whether you eat it or not.
Well, and to that note, we do have an agreement with the city and borough. That's how we have the land down there to use. And part of the agreement says that we have plots devoted to charity. So we grow food. We have a charity plot coordinator, and we grow food to donate. So the food pantries and the food bank get fresh produce from the Juno Community Garden.
Yeah.
Yep, the glory hole. We harvest and deliver.
All right. You can meet Alan and Pat tomorrow at the Harvest Fair. Oh, wait, I guess it's Saturday.
Sorry, yeah, don't
Friday.
Get me someplace where I'm not supposed to be.
It's not Friday yet.
Yeah, not yet.
It's this Saturday, August 18th. If you want to enter some vegetables, even if you're not a part of the Juno Community Garden, you can enter your cabbage or
or dahlias
or rhubarb.
Yep.
But you'll want to be there at 9 a.m. to do that, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Also preserves, by the way, jam
okay.
jellies and stuff.
Yeah. Very cool. There's going to be food, maybe some music.
Yeah.
Get there about 11 if you're just a member
of
the general public.
It's the place to be
this Saturday. And it closes at 1:30, so you want to get there.
Because I'll be tired.
Yeah. If you're coming for the harvest or the farmer's market, you need to be there at 9.
We don't sell at 9.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
At 11.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You have to be there at 11 when it opens.
Got it.
They go fast.
Is there a line like at the ski swap?
Thank you for the correction.
Yes, yes, there is a line like that. Yes. So we've actually tried to make that go a lot faster, and that's part of that is the credit cards.
Got it. Yeah. So 11 a.m.
And bring a
11
bag.
11 a.m.
Bring
cash
a bag.
And credit cards
bring
accepted.
Bring a bag.
Bring a bag.
Yep.
Maybe
we
your KCO public media tote bag
that you got when you
became a member.
Perfect. Way to throw that in. Good man.
Well, it's been absolutely great having you guys on the show. Saturday sounds like it's going to be a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
If people want more info, where should they go, Pat?
Well, they can go to, we have a website, so you can put in junocommunitygarden.com. I can say that. There's no R in .org, and you'll see the website. We also have a Facebook page, Juno Community Garden.
Cool. Anything we're missing you to?
You can do vegetable sculpture. So if you want to take that giant zucchini and make a dragon out of it, then bring it on by.
Oh, one other thing. At the exhibits, we have the normal kind of adult category. Then we have a parallel set of all youth entries, and they have their own set of ribbons and prizes. So if you're a young person, you can come enter an exhibit, and you're not competing with all the adult professionals.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Alan Davis, Pat McClure, meet them at the Harvest Fest, the Juno Community Garden in Montana Creek. If somebody's never been there, like directions how to get there.
So you're going off the back loop, go on to Montana Creek Road, and then when it splits on the right, it goes down to the skater's cabin. On the left, you'll go down the left, and on the left-hand side will be the community garden.
You'll probably see some cars and
people. You'll see some cars.
We're asking you to park at the gun club, which is just shortly on your right.
Great. Thanks, you two.
Sounds
we'll
good.
See you
Thank
on Saturday.
You. All right.
Thanks, Scott.
Garden party to reminisce with my old friends, a chance to share old memories and play our songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. Learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you've got to please yourself. People came from miles around, everyone was there. Yoko brought a walrus, there was magic in the air. And over in the corner, much to my surprise, Mr. Hughes hidden Dylan's shoes, wearing his disguise. But it's all right now. I learned. closet door, and out stepped Johnny B. Good, playing guitar like a ring and a bell, and looking like he should. You gotta play at garden parties. I wish you a lot of luck. But if memories were all I sang, I'd rather drive a truck. But it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La da da.
A new e-cigarette that looks like a computer flash drive. It has quickly become the most popular e-cigarette among youth. Juuls appeal to youth because of their sleek, discreet appearance and sweet, fruity flavors. But each cartridge contains the same amount of nicotine as a pack of cigarettes. Juul e-cigarettes are creating a new generation of nicotine addicts. Our children are more precious than Juuls. To help with quitting, call the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line, 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Paid for by the Partnership for a Tobacco-Free Southeast and Jammy.
Listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, August 16th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host. And like every Thursday at the end of the show, we have someone in from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Today it's Executive Director Nancy DeCherney to tell us all about this weekend's arts and entertainment opportunities. Nancy, welcome to the show.
And welcome back.
It's nice to have you here, and we sure appreciate you coming over every Thursday and letting us know what our opportunities are for this weekend.
We have a few things going on, just a few. Let's see. Today at 5:30 to 9, there is a PEO whale watching cruise, and I bet you it's a fundraiser to benefit scholarships for women. And they didn't tell me that it's sold out, so you could give them a call. The information for that is on either of our calendars at jahc.org or ktoo.org. 6 to 8 p.m., there's a bonfire on the beach. It says to be determined, and it looks like a decent day for a bonfire.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, it was International S'mores Day. Who knew that would be such a day? Anyway, okay. Friday night is going to be it's the last summer block party of the summer. It's going to be wonderful fun. It has the Njuzu Marimbas playing music. We will give out the Mayor's Awards for the Arts. There will be more music playing. We have the games and all that sort of stuff up for the kids. There's food trucks. There's garden things going on. And there's a beer and wine garden.
That's Saturday?
That's Friday night.
Friday night. Oh, that's right.
5:30 to 7. How much fun can you have between 5:30 to 7? A lot. So you need to come over. Really, the summer block parties have been great. We got to have three of them outdoors this year. That's
a great
record-breaking.
Huh?
And then after that, you can go on over to the Alaska Fish and Chips Company, and they have music happening over there, concert. They're at 9:30 p.m. on the Offbeat Miscast Musicals at the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater, one night only. $10 suggested donation. It's a JDLT, that's the Juno Douglas Little Theater production, and fundraiser. So your favorite local performers are going to be singing songs from roles they would never get cast to play. Well, come on. Sounds like a lot of fun. Over at the Gold Town, they're always doing really neat things. By the way, Colette is one of the people receiving a Mayor's Award. for all the fun that she brings
cool.
us.
She yeah. brings us, yeah.
She does everything. Saturday at, from 11 to 1:30, the Community Garden Harvest Fair out at Montana Creek. Celebrate the harvest season with us, the farmer's market of fresh local produce. There'll be a judged exhibit of garden. You were probably just talking
yeah.
to these folks.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw them going out of
yeah.
the door.
Pat and Ellen, yep.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of really great stuff growing around here lately. From 9 o'clock and at 10:30 p.m. on Saturday night, it's Club Baby Seal at the Gold Town Nickelodeon, stand-up comedy with local comics. We could use a good laugh. Come on down. It's get more information at theclubbabyseal.com or send them an email, theclubbabyseal@gmail.com. Sunday, there is... Doesn't seem to be a whole lot. There's the House of Wickersham Tours. If you've never done that, you should do that. Does the Salmon Derby start? Am I remembering that wrong? Is it next week? You just got back. You have no idea what's going on. Anyway, so I don't have it on my calendar. But Monday is a really important day for the Arts Council and for the New Jack people. The City and Borough Assembly will be considering whether or not they should put on the ballot for the public to decide a couple of options for ways to fund or help support, not fund, the New Jack. We are in the process of raising the money to build a new building, as you're aware, and we're doing pretty well at it. An amazing, an astounding number of local people. 100 people have pledged $10,000 and above. Most of those people are Junoites. And within Juneau, there is over 300 people that have given some form of money. It's amazing the number of people that are really bringing to this community, giving to this community, what personally I think is going to be a really spectacular centerpiece for the community long time. You know, once we have the Slam, Elizabeth Pradovich has been renovated and looks beautiful. We have the Walter Soboloff, and now we're working on the Centennial Hall and the New Jack area. It's going to make Juneau's already a destination. This is going to be really a destination, and I think it's for the long-term future of our community. This is something we need. So what we need is everybody to come down to the City Assembly and let folks know there that this is an important thing in the community. And you're behind it. Call us and get more information about it if you want. We've got a whole bunch of little facts and figures. There's a lot of incorrect information floating around out there. So I would like, if people have questions, that they should call the Arts Council or get a hold of me, and we'll go over it. But I hope to see everybody on. I know, how much fun can you have at the City Assembly from 5 until God knows how long?
On Monday.
On Monday night.
Where are we, Nancy, in thinking about the creation of this beautiful space?
We're actually doing pretty well. This particular piece will be sort of a critical piece to help us know if we're... I mean, the target is to take the old Jack down. Probably in April of next year, and which is, I think, simultaneously with the takedown of the DEC building, or not the DEC building, the public safety building.
Mm-hmm.
That's when that one's targeted. It makes sense to take two things down at the same time. The coffers are growing, and what's really interesting is we go to big funders, and one of their questions is, what's the city got in the game? So the city does have $1 million in, and it has the land and that in, and that we're grateful for that and we're happy with that, but it doesn't seem to be as impressive to the larger donors. So another commitment of some funding would help us go and bring the rest of the money in. So,
and would an example of that be some kind of a tax or something that we might all agree on? Or?
There's two bond options that are out there, and one of them is a geo bond. In order for a geo bond to be put forward, the city would end up owning the New Jack, and people may have forgotten that they also own the Old Jack. So in a way, the old Jack, if you ask me, is going to become a liability down the road. I mean, it's getting old, and we got some stuff to do to it. So basically, the city would end up owning this building, which would be, you know, 75% paid for by private and other not city money. It'd be an asset for the community. Different, you know, people have different thoughts about that. Personally, I think who doesn't want a gorgeous building like that in place of what we got right now? The other bond issue would put most of the money towards Centennial Hall, which now that we're operating Centennial Hall, I can say for sure that we need some money over at Centennial Hall too. And it would give a little bit of money to the Jack, which would help. But in any case, we really need people to get active on the subject of this, however you feel about it. It's good to have conversations about the future of Juneau, and I really hope that everybody's optimistic and can't believe that you're not. I mean, Juneau's got some great stuff going on. Just heard the JEDC report on where our young people, there are more young people moving into town than and that sector of our population is growing, which is really significant because all us old people are getting to be more of us too because we keep aging. I hate that part, but but anyway, Juneau's in a great place, and the arts are part of it. And you know, we're out there nationally; we are at the top of lists as one of the best places to live for creativity and arts. Let's keep it there. Hey,
sounds
I want to see
good.
You on the 20th.
For more information,
it's Election Day on the 21st.
Yeah.
So don't forget that. And there's some other things going on.
For more information, where should people go?
JAHC.org and KTOO.org. And there's an open house at UAS and David Hansen on Tuesday at the Meridian Planetarium. So much going on.
Nancy the Turney, thank you so much. That's Arts Up.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Take care.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon. Andy Klein will be your host tomorrow. It's currently 64 and mostly cloudy here in the capital city. And tomorrow calls for a 10% chance of rain before 7 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 58.